All right. What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. I'm Mark.
And I'm Brooke.
And this is week one of April. Our first week back. No, our second week back. Jesus Christ.
I was like, where are you going with this?
This is our second week back doing just our regular episodes. I forgot about it last week. Anyways, but yeah, this week we are talking about Straight Edge Kegger from 2019.
Yes, we are.
Brooke, this is your pick. Walk me through this. Walk me through this, man.
Honestly, I was looking through the Shutter app on my phone and looking for movies, and I saw this Straight Edge Kegger. But in the description, I was like, this movie is made for us, like, you know, hardcore punk, you know, we used to the green room. So, I knew nothing about this movie other than the synopsis and,
it's comparable to Green Room, maybe in a sense, I guess.
Maybe not as
high budget
way to say it. Yeah. High budget.
Yeah, I started this and I was just like, oh man, okay, this is like fucking shoestring budget. But whatever. It was a Kickstarter project too. I saw during the end credits there was like a big list of all the Kickstarter donations and all that shit.
Because I was gonna bring that up. I didn't know that. I found it in my research. Because I was gonna say, like, should I mention that this was a Kickstarter before or after Mark rips the movie?
You just know.
But I mean, just speaking off of that, I was looking at the Kickstarter on the internet, and it raised $15,511 on 90 backers.
Okay.
And
that's actually really fucking good.
And I'm gonna read you a couple of the tiers that they had.
Okay.
Which was fucking great. So so one was pledge $40 or more. It was called Edward 40 Hands.
Nice.
So you get a bunch of stuff, and then as an added bonus, we'll honor one of these lucky backers by writing your name on someone passed out in the movie.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then the next one was you get the DVD plus you'll still scribble your name or something funny stuff for you in the movie.
Nice.
So,
that's pretty cool. That's like on only 90 backers. That's quite a bit of money that they raised.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of people did, like, there's pledges for $300, $250. And like, there's people who actually, you know, did that. So, wow. Yeah.
I don't know if there's any truth behind it or not, but like whenever I was going through, like I Googled this obviously to see like what was up with it and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And there was an article on Bloody Disgusting, and the author of the article said that, the director, sold his plasma to help, fund this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if it's true or not, but I was like, God damn, man. Like, that's like some literal blood, sweat, and tears going into this movie.
Yeah, like I have some more stuff, but I guess we'll save some for the start of the discussion.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we've kind of just kind of jumped right into this. before we talk any more about this movie, what have you been up to this week?
This week, not too much. Did watch one big ticket movie though.
Nice.
So I watched Puppet Master. it's interesting movie. Mm-hmm. The puppets in it are creepy as hell.
Yeah.
Especially the like female one that like pukes up leeches or something. I don't know. And then the guy with like little tiny head and the fucking big fist. Oh man, I was dying laughing.
Yeah.
I think I need to continue watching this this franchise because I think most of it's on Tubi. So
yeah.
I had a good time with it. It wasn't great, but
no.
Yeah. I watched a new movie on Shudder called See For Me, which right off the bat, you know, it's kind of Hush ripoff, but not really. Like, I liked it. I liked how they kind of integrated like technology. Like there's some app where someone can like look for you. And the main girl, I didn't like her at all. She was kind of a big prick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a good time with it. And then lastly, we went to the movies to watch X, Ty West's new movie. I really liked it. I had a great time with it.
Yeah, I don't want to hear any more about it.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, man.
But yeah, that's pretty much all that's worth mentioning.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, so for me, I also watched See For Me.
Oh, you did? Nice.
Yeah. And yeah, it came off of your recommendation because you had texted me and you're like, yeah, Shudder's back because like they're finally adding some good shit again.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, except for this one, it sounds like a Hush ripoff. And you were like, no, it's actually really good. So I watched it. I enjoyed it quite a bit, actually. Yeah. I do agree with you. Like the whole technology thing that's added into it's really cool. And there's one camera point at the end of the movie, because the girl that's on that app that's like seeing for the main character, she like the main character is holding a gun and holding the app in front of her, so like you can see on the phone screen and it's like a first person view of her holding the gun, and I was like, it just looks really cool.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
And I watched, or I finished, Hellraiser Hellworld, which is the 8th one in the franchise. And I am about halfway through Hellraiser Revelation. I think that's what it's called, which is the 9th one. Revelations, yeah. It's not good.
Damn, you're trucking through those 9 movies.
To, man. I have to. I just got to get through it, because if I stop, I'm just not going to finish it, because they're trash. And other than that, we've been catching up on Big Brother Canada, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I did finish Severance. The first season wrapped up on Friday.
Nice.
And that, I couldn't recommend that show enough. Every episode and such a big cliffhanger, like it's so good.
Nice. Yeah, I gotta watch it. And you and I both streamed last night on YouTube.
Yep.
We did. Couple co-op games. We streamed Overcooked, which was my first time playing it, and it's fucking chaos.
Yeah.
And we also started A Way Out, which is a prison break game.
Yeah
Had a pretty lot of fun.
Cool concept.
Yeah I had a lot of fun doing it, so
yeah, me too.
If you're listening, go check them out. They're up there now. All right. If you're ready to start this, I am too.
Yes, sir.
And we'll cue the theme music and dive on it. Like we said in the intro, this week we are talking about 2019's Kickstarter project, Straight Edge Kegger.
It's pretty awesome that it's on Shudder, though.
Yeah. And Bloody Disgusting did an article on it. Like, it's getting recognition.
Yeah.
For sure. Which is, I mean, good for them. Before we start talking about the movie, though, what are you drinking tonight?
So I am drinking, I just had a big glass of wine, so I'm trying to drink as much water as possible. But I'm drinking a Muskoka Brewery. The writing on this is ridiculous. Ebb and Flow Sour.
Ooh.
It's a raspberry, lemon, and yuzu. I have no idea what yuzu is, but
you're going to find out.
It's tasty.
Thanks to you, my beer fridge is restocked. Thank you very much.
Yes, it is. You're welcome.
So I'm drinking a Dominion City Brewing Company Sunsplit IPA.
Nice.
Nice, pretty can.
That's good.
I could smell it as soon as I opened it and like hit me in the face. I was like, oh.
Like this... the sun hit your taste buds.
Yeah, Sunsplit. Yeah, it's good though. All right, starting off with the synopsis. A young punk and a house full of drunks square off against a gang of militant straight edgers that he has abandoned.
I mean, they don't really square off against them.
No.
Spoiler alert, everyone dies.
Yeah, it's complete and utter chaos. This movie was directed by Jason Zink. He has done Tapehead, the Straight Edge Kegger short film. So I'm assuming this full length came from that. Night Terrors and When I Die. And all of these have been like super low budget films or short films.
Yeah. And I read an interview that he has like 9 or 10 scripts written. So okay. He basically said in the interview, like, any executive producers looking for work, just like send them my way.
What's his email?
Yeah.
We'll hop on. The cast list is all, again, low budget actors. Mm-hmm. Starting off, we have Corey Case, who plays Brad. He's in a movie called Looking for Andrew, Don't Say My Name, Prodigy, and Lily Is Here.
Yeah. And he has 10 upcoming projects. So yeah. He's like a super busy fucking dude.
Yeah. Next, I have, it's either Evie Reedy or Evie Reedy. She played Maybe. Yes, that's her name, Maybe. She's in a show called Pantheon University and a movie called Jules and Monty. We have Julio Alexander, who plays James. He's in Grandma's Blood, Nightmare Student, and just like a shit ton of short films.
Yeah, this was his debut.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. So he's been pretty busy since this movie came out, because this is only 3 years old, and I saw like his list had quite a few things in it. And lastly, I have Jason Zink, because he plays one of the bad guys, if you want to call them that.
Yeah, who does he play? Tricky?
Tricky, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. One of the trivia things that I read too is like, I think that this movie was filmed in his house.
Oh, okay.
Because it said like all the graffiti on the walls and stuff are permanent like fixtures in his house.
Hmm.
So he has like a very punk rock style dwelling.
Yeah. Yeah, I know he like grew up on the hardcore scene and stuff like that.
Well, even the poster for the movie, it said K-I-L-L, something about Minor Threat anyways, which is an old school punk rock band.
Yeah, it was the front of it's like, this isn't a Minor Threat or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's something about Kill I saw somewhere. Oh, K-I-L-L to keep kids off drugs. And then at the top it said, this is not just a Minor Threat.
Yeah.
The cover art is really fucking cool for this movie.
I know, that's what kind of got me like hooked on it.
Like for our viewers, that's what it looks like there.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just think it looks really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. We were into the punk scene when we were younger, a little bit.
Yeah, still kind of.
Yeah, still are. We've kind of, I don't know, we're both kind of more into like post-hardcore and like shit like that. But
yeah,
I mean, a lot of this movie was very reminiscent of like my late teens, early 20s, like going to shows and house parties and shit like that. But I never understood like the whole straight edge movement.
Yeah. No, I mean, me either.
I get it, but like, I don't know. It's like Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous on like a higher scale.
Yeah. 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 I remember in wrestling, CM Punk, I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
He, one of his big gimmicks for a few years was he was like a straight edge wrestler and had like the tape with like the X's on his hands.
Hands, yeah. But I mean, whatever. To each their own.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Ready to talk about this movie?
Yes, I am. I am. Yeah, so I read in an interview with Jason that he actually got his idea from Kevin Smith, from Kevin Smith's book.
Okay.
Because Kevin Smith, when he did Red State, he did like a kind of DIY approach.
Mm-hmm.
Like he kind of just took something that he knew a lot about or like loved and just went into it.
Yeah.
Like Jason, he has no, like he didn't go to school for film school or anything like that. Like each movie he's done, he's like learned from each one. Like he said, Night Terror, like he could go on for days about how much he learned from that movie.
Really?
Yeah. So the only people who had any film, what's the word, like on the resume background, was the cinematographer and I think the cameraman.
Okay.
Or the producer, which I think you can kind of see in this movie because I think it is shot very well.
Some of it, yeah.
Yeah. Like I think the opening scene, I love the opening scene in this movie.
Mm, yeah.
Which was actually filmed at, I think, a club called Subterranean in Chicago.
Okay.
And so in this movie, most of the cast worked for a low amount or even some of them worked for free in this movie. And he reached out to the band Ugly Bones, who is in the opening scene.
Yeah.
And they actually went above and beyond what like they were supposed to do. They actually promoted the show.
Okay.
They got other bands to come do the show, and they got people to show up on a Monday to film this.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I read too that they were like struggling to get the 200 concert goers to like follow instructions.
Oh, really?
During that like opening filming scene.
No, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to dive, like, I don't want to go too far ahead, like, with my review and shit like that, but like, it's not a good movie, but I say it multiple times in my reviews that like, I respect the process of all this.
Yeah.
And like Jason Zink, like I said, he put like literal blood, sweat and tears into this movie, and you can tell that it's like one of those passion products for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Projects, not products. But I mean, the content's there, like it's there, it's just not at that level yet. And
and I mean, like, this is only like his like third or fourth movie, if that. So like, yeah, like I totally agree with you. Like in my review, like this movie is not that good, but just if you just sit back and enjoy it, like just take it for what it is, like you can have a good time with it.
And given the fact that he has no like background or schooling with filmography, like that's even more impressive.
Yeah. Like I thought the actor that played James, I thought he did a good job.
Actually. Yeah, he was like, very good.
But then whenever they get out, whenever Brad gets out into the alleyway and he meets Sean for the first time and he's having that conversation with him, I was like, this guy looks so familiar, and like you could tell that this guy's not an actor because like it just looked like they were filming just like someone talking like normal, like it was just awful, but I loved it.
Sean wasn't the greatest.
No, but he was my favorite character in this movie by
far. Me too. But you even got the mustache like him too.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they're at this show with Ugly Bones, and you see James's crew are there, and they're kind of like Sean says outside, it's like, you guys are there, but you don't seem like you're having a good time. And I love the part whenever James goes up to the Ugly Bones like set list, he's reading it off and he sees that the one song is Booze Hound.
Yeah.
And he tells the lead singer like, don't play Booze Hound. And the singer's like, huh, okay, yeah. He's like, no, don't play or I'll fucking kill you. And it's like, dude, this guy is legit straight edge.
Yeah.
And then they play it and he just goes up there and just fucking smacks the fuck out of him.
Yeah. Didn't kill him though.
No, he didn't. And then, so they're outside and they bring this kid outside who has like a Budweiser shirt on. And he's just like, I thought James was great in this scene. Like, he was very mm-hmm. intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he definitely seemed like a leader in this group.
Yeah.
What did you think of the whole kind of like role reversal kind of like, usually the straight edge people like are kind of like in the background, like no one really pays attention to you. It's usually like the punks that mm-hmm. are the chaos. But in this movie, it's the straight edge guys who are causing everything.
I thought it was kind of cool because like you really didn't expect it. Like I didn't expect them to be acting like this. And yeah, they almost have like a sort of Nazi punks kind of attitude about them, mm-hmm. but just without the partying and the alcohol and the drugs and all that shit. Like, because Nazi punks are obviously all about like the like hate crimes and shit like that. Like they follow the Nazis and all this stuff. So it's almost like these straight edgers are committing the hate crimes mm-hmm. towards people that like to drink or do drugs.
Yeah. Because there's a conversation later between Brad and James whenever Brad or James is asking him, like, you've been acting weird lately, like, what's up? And they kind of talk about how when they started this straight edge, they were just trying to clean up the punk scene or the hardcore shows and stuff, which, mm-hmm. like, I totally get. You know, they wanted to get rid of, like, the skinheads and
mm-hmm.
all that crap. But then it kind of seems like James does kind of took it too far. Like he was kind of this like messiah that was like cleaning up the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah. And Brad mentions in that interaction with him that you just mentioned that he's like, he's getting bored. Like he's not having fun with it anymore. Cause like they literally just go to shows and like bully people around basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love the scene whenever Sean and Brad are like kind of hanging out for the first time, and I love the conversation between them whenever Sean is like saying like oh, you don't like this band, you don't listen to this band because of what their lyrics are saying,
mm-hmm.
like them going back and forth, and they're listening to like one band, they ask
Noose.
Yeah, Noose is playing, but then I think Brad says like, oh, will you listen to Tapehead or something like that? Because mm-hmm. they're like a neo-Nazi like band. And Sean is like, oh, like, no, I won't listen to them. So like that whole conversation between them.
Yeah, it was a good interaction. Cause I think Sean mentioned something about how he's very passionate about like lyrics. So if mm-hmm. He said good tunes is good tunes, but he said if I can't relate to the lyrics or if I can't like fuck with the lyrics basically, then no, I'm not gonna like it. So if I don't believe in the message that the band is trying to portray, then I'm not gonna like them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Cause like he doesn't talk shit about the straight edgers. He just doesn't really understand the lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that, like, the first interaction between them, Sean offers him, like, the smoke, and Brad's like, oh, I don't smoke. He's like, okay. And Brad, like, the flask, he's like, here. And Brad's like, oh, I don't drink. And Sean's like, oh, you're one of those guys. And then they're just like, fuck you. No, fuck you. And then they just become, like, good friends. I really did love their friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you get, like, some montage of Sean and Brad kind of hanging out. Sean has broken edge, I guess, now.
Yeah.
Like he's starting to drink, and him and Sean are just hanging out, you know, having a good time. And then James learns that Brad is going to a party on Tinkler Street. And they're kind of having like this like group meeting, like in this like coffee shop. Like
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like they are a gang.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to this party, which turns out to be Maybe's house,
mm-hmm.
who maybe kind of like has a crush on him. I don't know. They have like this weird chemistry. It kind of seems like forced.
They're definitely like catching eyes from across the room.
Yeah, yeah. But they get these bands to play in Maybe's house. And there's one girl in the bathroom who is doing Edward 40 hands.
She was amazing. I love this girl.
But it was like, what is even the point of this? Like,
I think it was just like comedic. That, like, whenever you were talking about the Kickstarter, like the different tiers and shit, I thought maybe she had won a spot into this movie.
Oh, that would've been cool.
But I don't know, because she's credited as Emily 40 Hands.
That's hilarious.
That's what she's credited as. So I was wondering if like maybe she had won a competition throughout the Kickstarter to be in the movie. But yeah, I mean, her character is so out of place, but it's, I don't know, she was so funny.
Yeah, and like I've done the Edward 40 Hands.
Yeah.
And whenever she like sips it and she's just like, oh, it's warm.
Yeah.
That's literally the exact same thing I went through, because we were like sitting by a campfire when I was doing it. And by like quarter of it left, I was like, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
And she's stuck in the bathroom because like there's a note on the other side says like, don't close the door all the way because it jammed. And she's just like stuck in there.
And she's trying to like rip the tape off of her hands and she can't get it off.
And then she's trying to like get out the window, but she can't. Does she end up dying?
No, she's at the end.
Is she?
She's in a post-credit scene too. Like she wakes up because she falls asleep in the bathtub. And in the post-credit scene, she like wakes up and she's still got the 40 hands attached to her. God, she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I didn't watch the whole credits. I just watched like the beginning where they're like walking away and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I was playing Apex with one of my work buddies the other night when I was at Friday night. And I was like, it's like, what's up, man? He's like, just drinking my 40 of Old English. I'm like, no, Colt 45 is what he was drinking. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? Like, we're not in high school anymore. You don't have to drink this shit.
Yeah.
He's like, man, it's like $8. He's like, I couldn't pass it up. I'm like, it's literal moose piss, man. Like, this shit is disgusting.
Yeah, it's not good. They're at this party. Brad and Amy are kind of like, she kisses him and they're being like flirty and stuff. And then all of a sudden, James and his friends show up and they got these masks on. They look pretty sick, I think, with the masks.
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy in it, he has like the white mask. I don't know if that was that tricky?
I think so, yeah. Because there's the white mask and then James had like a
presidential mask.
Yeah. Kind of. And then two of them had masks that looked like they could have came out of... You're Next.
Oh my god, yeah, I was just thinking that. Yeah, one was like a pig and one was a wolf, I think.
Yeah,
a dog. So they pull up and Tricky, he goes over, picks up a rock, throws it into the thing, and there's a band playing and the lead singer is like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
And then he like looks out and then all of a sudden he gets fucking shot in the head with a crossbow. That caught me off guard. Did not expect all this to happen.
What caught me off guard with that scene is like, normally when you see somebody get shot in the head with a crossbow, like it happens in movies, it's like just the arrowhead and then like the rest of the whole arrow is sticking out. This motherfucker, that arrow went right to the back of his head and it was just the feathers sticking out of his forehead.
Yeah.
I was like, holy fuck, that's a high powered crossbow. Yeah.
And so that happens and everyone starts like freaking out. They get on the ground and Brad is like, okay, just like calm down. We need to think of something. And then someone says like, let's go to the basement. And then they're like, we can't go down there. And they go to the basement and Sean just sit there fucking drinking and like chaos has happened. He has no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
So everyone starts going nuts and Tricky is like, what the fuck, man? Like I didn't sign up for this shit. Like this isn't supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't call anyone because they got like a jammer or something stupid.
Yeah.
And they're like in the middle of this like neighborhood and the whole thing doesn't make sense to me, but it's just chaos.
Yeah.
And like people start running outside. Some kid gets caught in a bear trap. I'm like, what? And they just like slit his throat. And then like, there's two guys who are about to jump a fence and one of them's like, all right, help me up, man. And then he gets stabbed by like a machete. And I was like, dude, like you're doing all this because they're drinking.
I know, right?
It's like what is up with James? And like the other guys are so forward except for Tricky.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. Some of the deaths were so nuts, man. Like that's one thing I can say about this movie is like that the last like 20 minutes has so much creativity in it. Like there's just yeah. like, it's like they took their favorite kills from every movie and just like tossed it into one.
Yeah. I just, yeah, this would have been such a fun movie to film, I think, man.
Yeah, it would have been.
Definitely the one kill, I think they definitely took from, what's the fucking Jared Leto one we covered?
Jared Leto.
We did it before Josh came on. Urban Legend.
Oh, right.
The fucking, they got the beer bomb.
Yeah.
And they put, I think it was like maybe poison or something down the guy. And he just has like blood coming out. I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wrote down as antifreeze, but I don't think it, I don't think it was antifreeze. It was like some sort, it almost looked like an oil, like a bottle of oil.
Yeah, something.
But the liquid was like turquoise. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And then like there's one girl pass out on the couch and Tricky and someone else are there and the guy's like, all right, Tricky, like you have to do this. And he's like, I don't think I can. And he says something along the lines like, do you have no choice, James? Like it's gonna make you or something. And like he shot the crossbow and I knew like he didn't kill her. So it shows at the end like she's gone in, but the arrow's like in the couch.
Yeah.
So I knew that he, I also love whenever it maybe gives like Brad the beer. And he like sips it and she's, or I think it's Sean, maybe he's like, oh, it's beer. It's good.
Yeah. speaking of Sean, like whenever Sean, this is like going way back into the movie, but whenever Sean gives Brad his first drink, because Sean was like, do you want a drink? They're at Sean's apartment. And Brad's like, no. And then Sean's just mixing up like these screwdrivers, but there's like this much orange juice and like the exact same amount of like vodka in it.
Yeah.
And Sean just sets the drink down and has his own drink. And then Brad's like going off on some tirade about James. And he's not even thinking. He just grabs it and downs it. And he's just like, oh, I think your orange juice is going bad, man. And Sean's reaction in that scene, he's just like, he's like, no, man, that's alcohol.
Is there any other kills that happened? I mean, the cops show up because Tricky, he kind of gets a change of heart and like leaves and calls the cops. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know why he said like, oh, there's a loud party. Like I would have just said like the fucking dead kids, like fucking send people.
Fucking chaos.
Because like the two cops show up and these are the worst. They have to be the worst cops I've ever seen. They're
worst
like,
actors too.
Yeah, they were bad. Yeah. Because they're like about to go in the house and then Brad tells maybe like, she's like, oh, why are they coming inside? And Brad is like, oh, James, like he can talk anyone's ass off. Like mm-hmm. convince them. And he like convinces them like, oh, we got some underage kids in the house still. Like we don't want any trouble. And
mm-hmm.
he's like, oh, you know, that's how you were when you were a kid. And, you know, the cop was like, oh, yeah, for sure. And then the female cop gets hit in the back of the head. She's dead. And then
mm-hmm.
I think someone comes up and slits the other cop's throat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of throat slitting for some of the kills. And I thought it looked great. Like that cop getting his throat slit, like that looks so good. Like,
yeah,
because it was bleeding, but it was also as if it was like pulsing out, like it would be more and then less and then more and then less.
Yeah.
And it, yeah. I was trying to figure out, like, because on such a low budget, you can sometimes tell how they did it.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't see any indication of like anything being there. It literally just looked like the cop's throat.
Yeah, it did look good. Yeah.
I thought they did a really good job.
Was there any other kills or anything during this chaotic scene that we that I didn't bring up?
I don't think so. Like you had mentioned at the start of the episode, like just everybody dies.
Yeah, there's a girl that's killed in the shower. I think that was maybe's friend, mm-hmm. and then they. Maybe pretends to be dead and a guy comes in and then Sean ends up choking him and then maybe stabs the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And this kill reminded me of the one in Green Room.
Yeah.
Because she stabs him and then she like kind of goes up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't as graphic as Green Room because they had more budget, obviously. But yeah. I thought it looked good. And then the last few scenes, Sean is getting stabbed. And at that point, I was like, fuck, no, not Sean. But he ends up surviving.
Yeah.
But they're trying to get out the window and maybe it gets pushed out. And then Brad has like a corkscrew and stabs the one guy in the throat. And like, mm-hmm. I thought it looked really good. Like the kills in this movie, I thought were done really well.
Yeah.
And then James is like there and him and Brad are kind of fighting each other. And then Sean just comes up from behind him and just fucking blows his brains out.
This was nuts.
Yeah.
Because I've seen like a lot of people get shot in the head in movies and it's normally just a blood splatter.
Yeah.
This one, like there's fucking chunks that fly out, like skull, like brains. Like it was crazy. Like if you look beside Brad on the floor, there's like chunks of shit that came out.
Face, there was like chunks of brain everywhere.
Yeah. I thought like they did such a good job with that.
And I love that Sean didn't hesitate at all because usually like people will hesitate a bit, but he just like you see the gun and then boom.
Yeah.
And then I love Sean's delivery of the line, like, I told you I couldn't take him.
Yeah.
But yeah, then they go outside and maybe's there, she's still alive, and then they like get up and like she's like says like, oh, I'm never drinking again. And then Sean is just like, oh, they say that all the time. It's like every time. And then, yeah, they pretty much.
Yeah. And then we see the Emily 40 hands come out of the bathtub.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't let anyone leave that party either because there was one girl who ran away.
Mm-hmm.
But then she ended up getting taken in the woods and killed.
That's what ended up causing the cops to get killed. Because they were getting in back in their car and then that girl ran out screaming and then got the cops' attention and they were about to go in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Not much to this movie. I mean, it's a typical like slasher, like low budget. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's not much to it. So there's not much to discuss. I feel like we broke down a lot of kind of the behind the scenes of this movie a lot. So
yeah. And it was a short movie too.
Yeah. So, it's on Shudder. Go watch it. I think you'll have a good time with it. Mm-hmm. Anything else that you wanted to mention or talk about that we missed?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, that's the way the blood splatters.
I think creative with this one.
I was going to say water because it's straight edge, but.
The way the water splatters. All right. What did you give it for a review?
So for my ratings, I gave this story a 3 out of 10.
Okay.
I really liked how they kind of swapped the punk for this movie. The ones that cause chaos are the straight edgers. Like when the party is happening, like it's a normal party. Like no one's fighting, no one's doing anything, but then the straight edgers show up in chaos. Now, other than this movie doesn't make a lot of sense and has many plot holes, but you can't really like think of those things for a low budget movie like this. So I kind of like put those aside a bit. I thought Sean was such a fun character. I loved him so much. Brad and his friendship that they develop, feel very genuine and real.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 out of 10. And for quality, I give it a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
A very well shot movie. You can tell because like Jason said in an interview, he didn't go to film school, but the cinematographer and the cameraman did. The acting is not good at all, but most of these actors were either their first movie or aren't in very
good. Okay.
Would you give it for your review?
My story, I gave it a 2 out of 10.
Great.
I've already kind of talked about like my feelings on it. Like I don't really want to shit on it because it's very evident that that Jason Zink put a lot of his effort into it, as did the cast and crew. But like I've already said, I can't say it's a good movie, but it is fun. I did have fun with it, like you had mentioned. I feel like the plot line is definitely more fitting for like a short film, because of the existence of so many plot holes throughout it. And like the story itself doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, like you had mentioned. But it was a fun watch. Quality, I gave it a 4 out of 10. I said the acting and camera work are very amateur and low budget, which is fine, given the fact that it's the fact that it's such a low budget movie. The gore and the effects were actually really well done for the most part, and some of the kills were super creative and really cool. And I used that beer bong as the as like an example. I love the soundtrack in this as well, as we both generally do with these punk themed horror movies. And the atmosphere was very reminiscent of my late teens and early 20s. But yeah, so story 2 out of 10, quality 4 out of 10.
Nice.
Not a great movie, but watch it anyways, just for fun.
Yeah.
And I don't know, give these guys some credit.
Yeah. I mean, support them. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like they put a lot into it. So I went and downloaded Ugly Bones on Spotify too.
Did you? They're on Spotify?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. We're pretty much gonna have to nix the Rotten Tomatoes section for this one.
Yeah.
There's no critics consensus, there's no critics reviews, there's no audience reviews. There was one written critic review that I was going to read out.
Okay.
It's from Deirdre Simmons from Rue Morgue magazine, and she gave it a she didn't give it a rating, but she gave it like a tomato, like a red tomato, so she liked it. Just like seeing a band at a house party, you forgive the technical issues and you just let yourself have fun. Straight Edge Kegger certainly has fun with the music and the mayhem.
That's perfect.
Yeah, basically shares the thoughts that we have on it.
That's a pretty big magazine too.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I hope that this cast and crew does get some recognition and maybe some higher budget shit in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Letterboxd has a 2.4 out of 5. Actually has 16 5 out of 5 reviews.
Okay.
So
take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. So I gave it a 2 out of 5. You gave it a 1.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
There was one other person that rated it. So Brittany But Spooky, she gave it a 2.5 and she wrote a review. She said, just pure fun and different. Give me more music horror. Which I can agree with that.
I can too. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, cool. What are you ready for the scare section?
Yeah, I am.
All right, what did you give for a scare rating?
I gave it a 2 out of 10.
Some
of the kills were pretty gory, and I mean, stuff like this could happen in hardcore scene. I mean, it probably wouldn't, but if any music genre, this is definitely the one.
Yeah.
Scary scene, I said when James shoots the guy with the crossbow, I just did not expect that. To be honest, it was pretty gnarly. And would I survive? I said, well, I like to drink and smoke, so probably not.
We are very similar in this section tonight. My scare rating, I gave it a 2 out of 10 as well. I said, although it takes about 50 minutes for anything of sustenance to really happen, the final 20 minutes or so are off the rails with blood, gore, and brain matter. The kills and gore are pretty good, and James is an absolute psychopath. Scariest scene, I said the masks that the killers were wearing are actually pretty creepy, especially like the pig one and that wolf one or dog or whatever it was.
Yeah.
That pig one, it was like a super realistic and it had like blood smears and dirt shit all over it.
Yeah.
So I just I said like any scene with that mask in it specifically. And would I survive? I said pretty much the same thing as you. No, I like my alcohol too much.
Nice.
So yeah, those straight edgers are slit my throat.
They're crazy, man.
You gotta watch out for them.
Yeah. They don't have the alcohol and drugs, so they need some excitement.
Yeah, maybe they should like just try smoking and then they chill out a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's it. This is a short and sweet one.
That was very short. Yeah.
But given the fact that it's so low budget, there's no reviews really on it. It was a short movie, but with that being said, what are we doing next week, Brooke?
Well, we picked two movies, but we didn't say which one we're going to do. So
which one do you want to do first?
I'd say our next face off, we haven't done a face off in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to pick two slasher villains, maybe not the most well-known or talked about, but I don't know what I'm going on about. So we're going to be watching See No Evil next week.
Next week. Okay, perfect. Yes.
And won't say what we're doing after that. We'll keep it up.
Well, I'm glad I gave you the reins on that one.
Yeah, really. So, we were watching See No Evil. So, we will be putting up Mayor Kane against somebody.
Somebody. Equally as ugly.
Mayor Glenn Jacobs.
Mayor Glenn Jacobs. What's his character's name in that movie? I can't remember.
See No Evil. I haven't watched that in like 10 years.
Jacob Goodnight, that was his name. I'm excited. I like this movie quite a bit. I like See No Evil.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I do remember liking it. So
Kane is just like, he's a fucking monster of a man, right?
Yeah.
So he's very scary as a killer.
Yeah.
And with his history in the WWE, like, he played Kane, obviously. So he has like that horror persona, right?
Exactly.
And he just plays the character so well.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. Whenever you suggested it today, I was like, yeah, fucking right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the end of the episode. So if you guys want to catch us on social media, we are at A Podcast on Elm Street on Instagram and Facebook. If you click the link in our bio, my brain's just not working right now.
Mine either, man. Did you hear me like 2 minutes ago? I didn't know what the fuck I was saying.
What are we drinking? We need to go straight edge, apparently. Anyways, if you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch. There's also links to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. There's also links to our YouTube channel where we have a bunch of live streams up there now. There's also videos of our episodes that we've been recording. There is links to both of our individual Letterboxd accounts, our Discord server, and anywhere that you can listen to us. Please, if you're listening, go check out our YouTube. We need all the support we can get there. Yeah. We're having a blast with it. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Subscribe and don't forget to hit the little bell too, so you know when we're going live.
That's right.
We try to give you a little heads up. We're still trying to catch on. We're last night was bad on my part. I was not prepared. I thought, go check us out there. We're having a blast with it.
Yeah, definitely. It's a learning curve, right? We're not used to doing YouTube. We've been doing this format for like over 2 years now, so there's always going to be hiccups on the journey, so but we're gonna work out the kinks.
Anyways, we'll talk to you next week, guys.
See you later.